As at any crossroads, the languages spoken at the Faculty of Music are multiple and in constant evolution as its manifold visitors come and go. The conversation changes depending on the route taken through the building, with the presence of composers as teachers and the openness of the faculty's institutional infrastructures encouraging chance meetings and casual exchanges that have their own inspirational value. Yet, like other crossroads, such as an airport or a train station, the conversations have a certain sameness, ultimately revolving around what Edward Casey describes as the preoccupation of travelers. Where are you coming from, and where are you going? The answers are as revealing of places as the language spoken. To this end, the following composer work studies may be read not only for the value of their scholarly insights, but also for the ways in which the various themes, ideas, and compositions discussed by the different authors recur, resonate, and interact as part of a larger ongoing conversation unfolding in both word and sound. While it would be impossible to convey the richness of that conversation, one thread might begin in the following way. Bentham-Breas is remembered by students who had the opportunity to take his now legendary 20th Century Performance Practice Seminar as a man forever in search of interrelationships. His search often began with a fascination for words, not only for what they say, but also for the surprises hidden deep within their histories. Chime, as a noun, means the rim of a cask, an apparatus for striking a bell, the sound produced by a bell, an agreement or a chord. To chime in means to interrupt the speech of others, usually with an unsolicited opinion. The carillon, a stationary set of chromatically tuned bells in a tower, the first fully automatic or mechanical musical instrument, links technological advances in 14th century watch design to developments in 17th and 18th century organ construction, 19th century musical boxes, and the early 20th century reproducing piano. The word carillon stems from the Latin quartern, meaning by fours. Alcides Lanza's interest in the tango, like Hombreus's fascination with the sound of bells, is the product of a childhood memory of a distant homeland that has left an indelible mark. For Hombreus, this memory remains silent or unconscious, until he came to understand its musical influence later in life through his conception of music as clang, inspired by hearing his own compositions against the backdrop of Montreal's world musical landscape. For Lanza, the memory has been an explicit one that demands musical exploration, the evolution of his musical language in the early years of his career having focused primarily on technological applications and the development of what he described to musicological Pamela Jones as an international sound. The exploration of that memory has unfolded against the backdrop of the tango achieving world popularity. In Die Klingen Zeit, Brian Cherney is concerned not so much with distinctions between old and new, past and present, as with the concept of time itself. Like many of his mature works, Die Klingen Zeit is contemplative in character and is intricately bound with Cherney's memories of sounds and their relationship to time. His former student, Neil Middleton, explores these memories through Jean-Jacques Nattier's semiotic theory of musical meaning, moving systematically between the physical trace of music as sound and the poetic and aesthetic processes of composer and listener. In 1993, the year Cherney composed this work, Nattier's theory represented one of the most significant new developments in North American musicological discourse. The work could also be heard through the various influences that have shaped Cherney's quest for voice over the years.